the kicking schedule we had in camp and OTAs and minicamp, man, that was absolutely brutal. I really felt like a rookie again. I was like, all right, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to kick me out of the game.
So there's no respect, huh? You felt kind of disrespected, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that at all, by the way. I want to let you know that I don't like that you felt that way.
I mean, it is what it is.
Okay, there was Shane Lechler on the Pat McAfee Show 2.0, the Pat McAfee podcast. Paul disagrees with Shane. More on that in a second. First, here was O'Brien's response when John McClain did a good job and brought up the Lechler comments yesterday.
I just talked to Shane two nights ago. So I don't know what to tell you. I have great respect for Shane. You know, it's hard. It's very hard decisions that you have to make. Shane's one of the best punters to ever punt. I've said that time and time again. I consider Shane a friend. So, you know, I don't know what to say, John, other than that.
So Lechler didn't really have to compete with anyone for the last couple of years. This year he actually has to compete. New general manager, maybe they were trying something new, especially with how the special teams were over the last couple of years. When he gets released, he has a seven-minute conversation with the Texans about what's going to happen to him, and then he leaves. Here's my question. What did he expect?
He wasn't talking about his release there. He was talking about the actual way he was treated during camp.
Okay. Guess what? You're a punter. Like, yeah. Who cares? Who cares how you think? You're a punter. Wow, you're the greatest punter of all time. Like, the whole interview that Lechler did there, honestly, to me, it just strikes me as someone who's a little entitled. And I suppose you can be entitled when you're the greatest punter in NFL history. But guess what? You're a punter. No one cares. 7 minutes, that's a long time as an exit interview. Does he need a parade? Does he need a parade when he walks out?
I see people talking about it, but like, we're talking about it right now.
Yes, I'm talking about it because I'm annoyed by him.
If it was like some third stringer that got cut and was upset about it, we probably wouldn't be talking about it.
It was weird. I listened to the whole Lechler part with McAfee, and it sounded like he was relatively chill while at the same time, like, venting his frustrations at times.
McAfee was egging him on, because we know that McAfee, for one, like, quit football, supposedly partly because of an injury, partly because he doesn't like being told what to do.
Yeah, which is fair.
Which is, I think, why he's probably going to be great in media, but because he's got a personality
he
on
does.
Him. But I think he was egging him on a little bit, and what Lechler did was answer a question. It was like, did you feel disrespected? That's not necessarily, did he feel disrespected by Bill O'Brien? Did he feel disrespected by Brad Seeley, the special teams coach who's responsible for putting him through that schedule? I think there's a very good chance. Maybe Brad Seeley came into it with an agenda where he wanted to start the young kid or liked him or wanted him to win the competition or he wanted to prove something to Shane Lechler that he was the boss. Whatever it was, like, Lechler felt disrespected. That happens. You get to a certain age in the NFL, and you're treated a certain way during camp, and it's not even based on how good you are or anything. It's that, look, you're 40 years old. You gotta get certain concessions and not do some of the things. So I think that Lechler probably felt and kind of got a clue somewhere during camp that, all right, yeah, these guys are they're not big fans of me right this moment. And you just feel it. You just sense it.
I understand sensing something like that, but, I mean, why was he surprised when they bring in a new special teams coordinator for a unit that sucked and has sucked forever? Like, why is he surprised that all of a sudden they're saying, hey, how about you actually practice as opposed to just standing off to the side?
Because
hold on, was that his complaint? I thought his complaint was
he was talking about the schedule, the actual schedule.
I thought his complaint with the schedule was that he wanted to punt more.
Is that what he said?
That's what I took from it. Chris, can we find that clip, please? I want to see Lechler on the practice schedule.
Because I
thought that he was upset that he had such a light punting schedule. He was like, what's going on here?
Oh, really?
Like, I actually want to punt more so I can compete more with this Trevor Daniel guy.
Maybe this is a Luke Richardson thing. Luke Richardson, like, is basically
Richardson.
Some of those guys are over there and they're like, "Geez, I don't like. Can I work out more?" I'm like, No. We're gonna keep you healthy.
That's how I took
it. Unless you have a hamstring, then you're gonna be injured forever.
I take away from this whole thing is that Shane Lechler wanted to get special treatment on his exit. That's what I take away from it. I feel like this is a guy because he played for such a long period of time in the league.
Yeah.
He thought to himself, okay, well, it's going to be different for me when it all ends. No, it's not. You're an NFL punter.
This is how we all go out. It's always ugly at the end.
It's not going to be a storybook ending. What does he expect on the way out? Like a big parade and fireworks? And then someone's going to pick him up, like at the end of that movie, what is the officer and a gentleman or whatever, where they're picking that lady up and walking out of the sewing machine factory?
Yeah, big guys do it because Lechler's a big guy.
He is a big guy.
I think, look, I'll put aside my just jokes about punters and kickers and everything, for somebody that did it as long as he did, I don't know if he deserved or expected special treatment. I think that it's a guy that, like, just got cut. Your feelings are pretty hurt just after you got cut. And he's speaking from his, like, he's speaking from his heart. Are you seriously criticizing Shane Lechler for speaking his true emotions on a podcast with another kicker?
No, I'm not criticizing his emotions. I'm just saying, like, why?
Because he's one of the greatest punters of all time. Okay. Like, maybe you do treat him with a certain deference.
Okay, fine. Build him a statue.
I'm just saying, I understand where he's coming from. I really don't feel like criticizing the Texans over it. It's not anything I have, because I know this is what happens when you get cut, when coaches get fired. Everybody has a certain opinion of themselves, and all of a sudden, you're being treated like a peasant. It's hard to handle and hard to deal with, and that's what he's going through.
I think the crux of the issue is how direct an organization is or is not with the player. I think, because you've told the story, Seth, many times about you and Robert Smith and the games they played with you back in 06, and you were basically like, you know what, screw these guys. They're asking me for a pay cut. I'm not taking a pay
cut. They're trying to, like, it was weird. They were using Robert Smith and I against each other in a way that, like, I don't think Kubiak was aware of any of it. I like, in my mind, my conspiracy theory is that it was Rick Smith and Richard Smith, the two dicks, operating in consort, where, like, they acted like, yeah, Robert Smith and Seth Payne are competing for the nose tackle job, and then they told my agent I had lost the starting job, while my position coach was telling me I had won the starting job, and they were telling my agent, look, he's a backup, we gotta give him a pay cut. So I'm like, well, Ralph, my agent, tell them this. Bleep off. And then I went to a movie. And next thing I know, they cut Robert. Yeah. It was the weirdest thing weirdest thing I've ever been through. And I come in, like, I addressed it with Rick Smith. And I'm like, Rick, like, what the hell's going on here? Like, I waited until the end of the season. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
Richard Smith, the other dick. Dick Smith the second. We'll say Dick Smith the first and Dick Smith the second. Dick Smith the second was like having me run scout team during training camp, calling me the wrong name, all this stuff, all this weird stuff. And they'd come to me and act like, yeah, you're the backup and you should take less money. But meanwhile, my position coach is like, no, you'll be starting. It was seedy and underhanded, except it was so poorly executed. Like, I couldn't even respect the game. If you're going to screw me, at least screw me with a, never mind.
At least take me to dinner first and, like, make a show of it.
Yeah.
Like, take me to a fancy steakhouse.
Funniest thing is that I don't think Ralph actually told them the F off part of what I had told them to tell him. But then they kept me and they're like, hey, cool. Good job, buddy. And then poor Robert is like, yeah, like, it was weird. Well, so it was really weird.
To localize it with the Lechler part specifically, I think maybe Shane's issue could be, and I'm not saying he's right or not, but I could put myself in his shoes feeling like, hey, listen, they can always bring in competition. Like, we're all competing for our jobs to some extent or another. And maybe he felt like they weren't direct enough about the practice part.
But there's a narrative that they wronged him. That's what I don't get.
They didn't wrong him. They did not wrong.
Well, that's out there. That's
the
people. That's look at the text line right now. There's like a narrative that they wronged him. Did they wrong him? They cut him. He's a punter.
Read me some of these texts.
He's a punter. If he was so good, one of these teams that are supposedly awesome that he is waiting to play for would have cut the punter and they would have replaced with that guy.
But is it possible though too? Because I don't think did he say that he was wronged by being cut? I think it was more the manner in which they handled him during training camp and then like the actual cutting process that he.
From my impression of listening, my impression of the whole thing, and especially with some of the things where he said, like, oh, well, O'Brien was saying the same thing to us over the course of, like, all these losses in a row. Well, yeah, duh, of course, what the hell is he going to say when you're going through a losing hell and all of a sudden every single player is injured out there? There was a bunch of different things that he said. He talked about the way that he went out. He talked about O'Brien's handling of everything, and he felt that the way that he was cut was in some way unappeasing to him.
Yeah.
And to me, like, dude, whatever. You competed and you lost. It's the first time you competed. It's the first time you lost. Happens to everyone. It sucks. I'm not saying it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, I feel like this whole interview and the fact that it's become a story, to me, I don't think it should be much of one. Like, this stuff happens to everyone.
It feels, it felt to me from the snippets, look, I'm not like you, Paul. God bless you, but, like, frankly, I'm not going to listen to a podcast of a punter and a kicker. But it just seemed to me like it was a guy that got cut and he was upset about it and he's going to vent about it. And everybody, like, I don't care if it's Belichick or O'Brien or anybody else. If they get in a comfortable environment with another player, you've got complaints about your coach. Nobody, there's not a guy out there that's like, oh, I pray at the altar of Kyle Shanahan every morning. He handles everything perfectly. Like, no, they all make mistakes and they all screw up and you get angry at all. Like, especially the good ones, you get angry at them a lot. And that's the danger of the podcast, I suppose, is that
yes.
you see all of that and all of those emotions, and guys say things that they might not say otherwise.